Then I'm going to walk you through some things this morning. The Bible says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. If you underline and highlight in your Bible there, if you've got paper Bible, you can do that. So boldness, access, confidence there. And by the faith of him, faith is certainly important. Verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Faint is that fourth attitudinal word that we're headed toward. And so when we pray, we are realizing these four words. And if you have a close walk with God and a special time of prayer, if you're normal and growing in your prayer life, these are true. If you're not, I can promise you, you're neglecting these four words, or you're experiencing particularly that fourth one, that one of fainting. And so we want to talk about that. So if you'll help me today, I want to talk to you about the problems, not of not growing, that was last time, but the problems of not praying, the problems of not praying, the cost of a prayerless life. Father, help us today. Help us get past our guilt. Help us get past thinking that no one else does a good job at this. Help us not to rationalize. Help us not to trivialize. But help us, Father, to individualize. Lord, we have this great privilege to walk and talk with you. And so I pray you do that. For those who just need some help getting started or some help understanding, Father, I pray you do that. And for those, Lord, who have learned how to live without walking and talking with you, I pray that you would remind them they were not created to do that. And so help us. Lord, help me preach. Lord, help me preach out of my guilt. Help me preach out of my shame. Father, as I so earnestly think I should be so much further along in this area. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to push forward. And I pray that we would be a praying group of people, a praying church. Father, we would not talk about prayer, we'd pray. We would not think about praying, we'd pray. Not just when we're in the emergency room, not just when we're at the hospital cafeteria, but we would talk with you because we love you and because we have this great access to you. So help us. And for those who today need to make that first prayer, that prayer of faith and repentance, I pray they do that this morning. They call on you, the one who is mighty to save, and you would change their life. We love you and we need you. We thank you. We ask all this in your son's precious and holy name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. I sent out a survey online. It's always dangerous to do this. Some of you may have seen it online. I asked, why do you think people pray, or people have a hard time praying? Why they don't pray? Why don't you pray? Why don't you think other people pray? And I got some great answers. I had some people respond to me individually. I had some people just give great sermons, great sermonic kind of things. And man, it was interesting. Some folks, they replied back and said, well, folks don't pray. Folks don't pray because they've never been taught really how to pray. I think that's a pretty common thing. They just kind of assume everybody knows how to do that. And this is how it is. It's like going to somebody's house for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing. Everybody knows the routine and things, and you don't. You just feel kind of awkward because you don't know that you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to sit here, that you're supposed to take turns opening the gifts or whatever it is. And so it's a little different. Other folks, they said, because they've never been taught, or because they've been taught that it's just I'm supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to have five things I'm supposed to mention, and never thought about the fact that it's a conversation, that it's an opportunity to converse with the Lord, and I'm talking to someone who loves me. And man, I thought that was good and that was strong. One guy, he's Jonathan Lewis, he ministers down in South Carolina. Jonathan said, we've forgotten what it means to be still. We get real antsy being still, period, much less still before the Lord. Nobody knows how to be bored anymore. We're all dopamine fiends and the craziest, the most worked appliance in the house is not the washing machine. It's not anything in the restroom. The most worked appliance is the remote control, right? Feed me. How many of you, somebody in your house could make that an Olympic sport, how fast they can change things. My mom changes channels all the time. She keeps the volume off. I don't know what she's doing. She's sitting there in mystery. And she's just seeing if anything looks interesting. She might give it a little volume there. And if you're watching that today, Mom, you know it's true. And we're here, we're talking about these kind of, I suggested to you last time that every church ought to have a zero tolerance policy toward those who cause division. That's where we're at. And if you cause division, man, Paul said abruptly, man, you do not put up with that, as we were in 2 Corinthians. Also, we should have a zero tolerance probably toward people who refuse to grow. They want to stay spiritual babies and infants. And they refuse to grow. I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to read my Bible. You are, man, that is an aberration. And we shouldn't keep coddling those kinds of people. I was talking with a guy years ago, and he was serving at a fairly large church and all, and he was kind of lamenting the fact that the teaching pastor at the time, was just kind of doing these five ways to be successful and four things for this and three. And I said, well, why didn't he do it? And he said, well, he's stuck. He said, the crowd we have won't put up with him doing anything stronger. You can't ask babies to grow. And my head exploded. I'm like, well, that's absolutely what you got to do. You ask babies to grow because babies are supposed to grow. Somebody say amen to that. Man, you don't sit there and coddle them. You encourage them to grow. And every church ought to have an all-in kind of attitude to help people grow. And so that's what we've done. We've just doubled and tripled down. Whatever we need to do, Sunday school classes at 9:30, classes for the children. Andrea sings and goes back out, make sure that the children have something on their level during the worship service. Man, we're just all in. We've got three men's groups, a ladies group, teen group. We got all these kind of things, man. We're focused in on helping everyone who is willing, man, to grow and to go forward. And part of that is to get the steady diet of the Scripture. And we gave you some of those kind of things. You can listen to last week's message, watch it online. It'll be a real help and a blessing too. But today, there's that problem of not praying. That problem of not praying, not talking. I was thinking, and some of you wonder if I ever tell things that Andre didn't know about. If I'm telling anything that's going to get me in trouble, I promise you my wife has cleared it. Because I like y'all, but I got to live with her. And I was trying to think, what was the last time she and I really got at loggerheads? Really got at each other. And I know you can't believe that with her, but you can believe that with me. So let's say it like this. When's the last time I lost my mind? And the last time I lost my mind, I think, and it's been a minute, last time I lost my mind, we really got out of sorts with each other. I froze her out. She responded a little bit, but it was mostly me. And she finally looked at me and said, how long do you think this is going to last? And again, we're talking about an hour kind of an episode here. How long do you think it's going to last? I went, you ever been so mad you're stupid? Anybody ever been so mad you can't remember why you're mad? Anybody? Just, all right, like five of you. The rest of you are single, right? And all right, come see me. I'll tell you what it's like on the other side. And or you're single on purpose, rather. Anyway, and she said, how long does it last? And I reckon until I get hungry. And then we laughed. And then I said I was sorry, and she forgave me, and I felt like a dummy. And I walked around like a whoop puppy for about 3 days. Because I'd been an idiot. Some of you are like, that doesn't happen. You can ask her. That's typically how it works. We're past the days of fighting for two or three days at a time, and we usually, if we're going to do it, we get it over with and blow up and explode, and then we're kind of done and over. But she said something that last time. And I said to her, you know, I think trying to ignore each other is worse than being volcanic to each other. We just known each other too long. You know, say something stupid, then back up and punt. That's one thing. But to just act like the other person doesn't matter. See, if you're not praying this morning and yesterday and today, it's not that you're saying something ugly toward Jesus. You're just acting like he doesn't matter. You're thinking vocationally. I'm trying to talk to you relationally. Let me help you. If you hadn't prayed for your wristband person this month, you just said, well, they don't matter too much. If you haven't prayed for people that you know and you love, your family, you're just saying, man, they don't matter to me. You with me here? You got to think relationally. I collect a list. This is a compilation of a few lists. I want to give them to you rat-a-tat-tat here. Here's some things that happen when you don't pray. Is everybody still with me? Basically, I'm gonna buzz through these pretty quickly here because I'm going to give you four positives, and I want to give you a way to pray. Number one, when you don't pray, James chapter 4, verse 8, when you don't pray, man, you lose intimacy with God. Prayer is the language of relationship. When prayer fades, fellowship cools. A prayerless life becomes a distant life. James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. When you don't pray, when you praise, you lose intimacy. When you don't talk, when people don't talk, that's true in a relationship, that's true in a friendship, that's true in a family. Man, you need to talk. You need to communicate with each other. You can lose intimacy so very quickly. Again, you can, you know, I say talk, you know, communicate. You know, you text with one another. You can do those kind of things. Excuse me. Lady, it's so amazing. You know, young lady, some get to be expectant and have the baby and come home, and she'll be doing that 12 weeks. Guy go off to work, come home, and his wife's just there, man. She's got her 20,000 words ready for him because she's not had an adult conversation today. And the man will come in, whoosh, you know, it's there. My dad used to joke. He'd say he'd sit in the truck, and he'd wait to come in. Because he was ready for my mother to unleash the torrent of words that she'd been saving up for him, you know, and she wanted to get it out of her system there. But it was important. It was important that we talked. And when you don't do that, man, you become distant. Some of you, the reason you're cold, let me help you. If you've ever watched anybody who is attending church and all of a sudden drop out, I promise you, prayer's been gone in their life. That is a barometer of spirituality. Number two, you lose awareness of God's presence. I don't pray over my food because I think God protects me from my food. I don't pray over my food because I think if I don't, it'll be poison. I pray over my food to remind myself, God, you have blessed me enough with the strength to eat. Not that many years ago, man, I had to have help with forks and knives. I couldn't open a bottle. They were worried I wasn't going to be able to swallow. I'd lost so much muscle. They started talking to me about, well, they didn't talk to me. They made me start drinking protein shakes because they were worried I wasn't going to be able to chew and swallow. I bow my head and say, God, thank you for this. Somebody gave us a gift card. I took Andre out to eat last night, and man, I got a great meal and didn't cost me a cent. Man, I was unbelievably thankful. We had $10 left over and gave a good tip. And my wife's already told me she's going back and eating lunch, and I'm not invited. And she didn't say that. I made that up. You lose awareness of God's presence. Prayer keeps the heart conscious, God conscious. Without it, believers live as it was far away, even though he is near. If the only time you pray is when you're here with us, man, you're missing out. When I pray, Lord, I'm in your presence. I'm recognizing that I'm in your presence. I'm always in your presence. Prayer keeps my heart that way. Number three, you still with me here? You can lose peace in troubling circumstances. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 in heaven. Forrest was quoting there. Be careful for nothing, everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God shall guard your hearts and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Without prayer, burdens are carried along. Don't do that. I've never figured out if it's a Knoxville thing, if it's East Tennessee, if it's a West Knoxville thing. The church I grew up in as a teenager and churches I've been in as an adult, man, folks would come, regardless of the sermon, they come, they get around the altar, they pray for their family, they pray for requests, they pray for job situation, whatever. They come, they take, and they bear their hearts out to the Lord in prayer. We don't do that as much here. We're doing better with doing that. But I think it ought to be, man, this ought to be the thing, man. I can come and I can pray. Let me help you. You can pray in church, but guess what? You can pray out of church. You can take your burdens to God. You can lose peace when you don't pray. By the way, anybody ever experienced that? Nothing quite like, Lord, you know, I hadn't talked to you since the last time I was in a jam. Don't do that. He's not a spare tire. He's the Lord God Almighty. You can lose spiritual strength. Lose spiritual strength. Ephesians chapter 6, excuse me, verse 18. Praying always, the weapon of all prayer, that in the evil day you may be able to stand. A prayerless Christian is an easy person for temptation. Think back the last 10, 12 days. Anybody in here been tempted? You gave in that temptation? Anybody here been tempted? Didn't give in that temptation? I promise you, the difference is you were prayed up that day. To not pray is just to be an easy person. We were traveling over the Christmas holidays, bouncing around. We were somewhere, and somebody had a table set up, and I said, "I'm going this way. Andre, you go that way." Riley said, "What's that?" I said, "Because I'm easy." He said, "What do you mean? They're over there selling something, and I'm going to give them money. Your mother's going to walk by and go, 'No, thank you.'" And this is the difference in our personality. If I go by there, it's going to cost me $20, and I'm going to buy something I didn't want, don't need, and not going to use to make my conscience feel better. Your mother's going to go by and say, "No, thank you," and never think about it again. He's like, "Who am I?" I said, "Depends. Go over there." He came back with a bag in his hand. And I said, "You're like me." And I said, this is how it is. Without praying, man, without praying, you need divine strength. It's not in you. It's not a stiff upper lip. None of us are there. A prayerless Christian is an easy target. Number five, if you don't pray, you don't have guidance and wisdom. People make decisions. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to take this job. I'm going to move over here. I'm going to do all this kind of stuff. They haven't prayed a bit. Or they make a decision. Say, God, now please bless my decision. God delights in giving wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. We call upon the Lord, excuse me, let him that needs wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives freely and upbraids not. He doesn't slap your hand. Without prayer, we make decisions in the flesh rather than in faith. We need to understand that. You lose that. By the way, if you're still with me so far, you ought to be going, man, I ought to pray because of all these great things. Number six, you lose your power over sin. You lost power over sin and temptation. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Matthew chapter 26, 41. When prayer stops, sin often starts. Go 2, 3, 4 days without prayer. Watch your vocabulary go back. Go a couple weeks. Dusty Bible. Don't open your YouVersion app. Don't have quality time with the Lord. All of a sudden, man, things you shouldn't do, wouldn't do. We talk about metrics, leadership here, and I talk about metric. You know, sometimes attendance is a metric, and it is an important metric. Giving is a metric for people and attendance. All that. But the metric you can't track is, you've been walking with God? Stop walking with God, you don't care if you come to church. Somebody say amen to that. Start walking with God, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Why should I care? I didn't talk to him this week. I didn't talk to him this month. When that happens, man, we struggle, and all of a sudden it starts. You lose your joy. John chapter 16, verse 24. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Prayer keeps me aligned with heaven. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Father, for letting me wake up this morning. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you that I get to pastor the Hardin Valley Church. Thank you, Lord. I got to hear a good Sunday school class this morning. Thank you. Thank you. I had a good men's group yesterday. Thank you. Thomas came in with his musical instrument today. He's going to play back there. He's going to play first time in church since he's been saved. Thank you for that. When I pray, man, when I pray, it keeps my soul aligned with heaven. You lose joy. You can lose your confidence. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You still with me? Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. You lose your confidence. Without prayer, guilt and fear replace confidence. When you don't pray, man, you feel guilty. You're fearful. Anybody guilt and shame paralyzes you like it paralyzes me? Shoulda, coulda, woulda, didn't. Now I'm ashamed. Now I'm the devil's speed bump. No. That prayer number 8. Guilt. Prayer gives us confidence, gives us boldness. Just a few more. Again, if you miss any of these, you can find the notes right on the app there. You lose fruitfulness in ministry. This one just killed me this week. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Prayerless service becomes powerless service. 2019, I was diagnosed. 2020, went through all that. 210 days of chemo, 30 days of large field radiation, had pneumonitis. Eventually figured out about 3 months ago that during that time, again, the radiation helped paralyze one of my vocal cords. That's why I struggled so much. Man, I was there. Brain was washing chemicals, all those kind of things. But 2020 was the first year in my ministry where I couldn't point to anybody that I'd led to the Lord. And the more I talked about it, more people said, well, you just let yourself off the hook. As I ended the year in December, I told the Lord, God, I don't want to stick around here if I'm not going to be fruitful. And I'm not interested in just hanging out, telling stories, making people laugh. Say, that's kind of radical. No. I have given you so that you would bear fruit and bear much fruit. As long as I've got any breath in me, I want to bear fruit for Jesus. Somebody say amen. I want to help people come to Jesus. And prayerless service becomes powerless service. I don't know the most important service we have is Wednesday night, but the service that we emphasize prayer the most is Wednesday night. It ought to be the power service. Power service. Number 10, you lose sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. This is so true with me. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. quench not the Spirit. Prayer keeps my heart tender. I swerved into it. Somebody gave me the idea. It has become one of my favorite things. Next week, Lord willing, you'll get a 3x5 card. About 80% of you do them. 20-25% of you don't do them. I get those cards. Your name's at the top. I pray for you. I pray for your request. These are the people you care about, need Jesus. These people that spiritual needs, whatever it is. And I get to do that. That is one of the joys of my day, to do that. Enter into that with you. Keeps my heart so sensitive to you. Keeps my heart saying, Lord, use them. Lord, use them. Please, these people. I don't know. Some of these, I don't know who they are. And then as I'm flipping through, and some of those prayer requests have been answered, I get your joy. So it keeps my heart tender. Keeps your heart tender. When I don't do that, man, I get dull. Number 11, there. You lose the intercessory blessing. God uses you to work through people. Somebody gives you a request. I don't ever mean to be snide or short with you, but if you hit me with something and I don't have something to write with in the lobby or whatever, I ask you to text it to me. Not because I don't want to pay attention, but because I'm going to talk to 15 more people and I don't want to forget. I want to make sure if you invited me in to pray with you about something, that I remember to pray with you about that. Because there's a great blessing that I get from asking God to be with your particular need. You'll hear me. You'll hear me. And we started trying to write down some of these things that people ask us to pray for. You know, somebody mentioned something Wednesday night or Sunday school, whatever. Man, you take your pen out and you write that down unless you got one of those memories. Pray for them. Pray for them. We talk about that. We talk, you know, be blessed and pray for you. Did you pray for them? Or are you just being polite? Good to see you. Good to see you. Well, you don't pray. Don't pray. You lose your thankfulness. Prayer trains the heart to see grace. Without it, murmuring replaces gratitude. When I pray, man, I'm being thankful. In everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You can lose your rewards and you stagnate. You can lose your rewards and you stagnate. You don't want to lose your reward. I want to pray. I jokingly talk about that our finances don't make any sense. Never have made any sense to me here. You know, we went from $31 behind to $2,500 over. I don't know what happened. Riley said he gave extra. I think he gave $31. I don't think he gave $2,500. That's my son. Those of you know who that is. I don't know. But I'm okay with not knowing, because then I just get to give all the credit to Jesus. And it ain't any credit of mine, because I didn't figure it out. I didn't go, hey, you know, Tommy, I need you to write another check, you know. And I didn't do that. I didn't go, Chelsea, I need to swipe your card twice. You know, we didn't do any of that. I didn't gin it up. God gets the credit. God gets the credit. You lose your reward. Prayer is labor that heaven honors. He pours out the vial of our prayer, Revelation says. He has not lost one hair of your head or a sparrow of the fall. How much more? If God's giving out rewards based on how you pray, how are we doing? How are we doing? And then it'll stagnate. You can stagnate. I gave you a baker's dozen plus one there. Spiritual growth slows. Prayer is essential to spiritual maturity. All right. So if I've convinced you that prayerlessness is bad, is everybody with me? All right. And by the way, we knew that anyway. If I've convinced you, and I've convinced you there's all these blessings on the other side of this. So how do we do that? How do we do that? I want to give you a few attitudes and then a little simple way to start growing and adding to your prayer life. Would anybody here like a little help? Little help, is that okay with everybody? All right, here we go. All right, number one, boldness. That's our text. That's our text, Ephesians chapter 3 there. Ephesians, excuse me. I mean to quit coughing there. Chapter 3, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access. Boldness, it's boldness. It's the idea. It's used 31 times in the New Testament. It's literally the boldness. It's the idea of pouring out your heart. Here it is, Lord. And he's not going to side-eye you. He's not going to... You ever pour your heart out and somebody act bored? Pour your heart out? You ever called anybody? I know I talked to you. You didn't do this yesterday. You ever called anybody and they're trying to get off the phone as soon as they say hello? Hey, how you doing? Well, okay, that's good. All right, you know, and you're like, I don't know what just happened. I think I was giving the brush off digitally. And you know, in there. It's the idea of it's literally the boldness. You have the boldness. You get to pour your heart out to God, seeing then we have a great high priest that it passed into the heavens, Jesus, Son. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. God has no stepchildren. He has no favorites. If you've been saved a minute, you've been saved 60 years, you and I get to come to the one, and he goes, I love you. What's on your mind? Come boldly. God is not my buddy, by the way. He's not a genie. I know it's Janai, but he's not a genie. I can come to God with reverence and respect and worship. Prepare your heart and come to God knowing that he loves you. He will not give you the cold shoulder. He will not ignore you. Number two, you ought to come understanding you have access. Access. The word for access is the same word used as the person who gave a entrance to the king. Come on in. You don't stop at security. Don't have to have a badge. Not going through the gate. Not going through the metal detector. You have all the access to God that anybody else does. He loves you. Say, I hadn't earned it. Now you're getting it. He loves you. Our daughter was home for Christmas. She was doing something. She was heading out somewhere. I looked at Andre. I said, you know, whatever she wants, just take care of it. Allison said something. I said, all that's mine is yours. Riley said, what about me? I said, no. I looked at him and said, I quoted the prodigal son to him, or the older son to him. You've been with me all this time. It's always been yours. And you can't get rid of you, you know. And I was, yeah. And I didn't say that. Yeah. Why? Because I'm her dad. I love her. You need something? Here it is. We'll figure it out. That's how we're supposed to be, right? I have access. It's not impetuousness. I come. I'm communing with him. I have access to him. Number three, you can have come with confidence. Come with confidence. I'm persuaded. Persuaded. John chapter 14, that he can accomplish his will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. I have confidence here. I have confidence because I'm commanded to pray. Confidence, by the way, is not arrogance. It's not self-image. It's not motivational self-talk speak. I have confidence. Not that he can do it and all those kind of things. Not that I'm ginning myself or getting myself ginned up there. But I have confidence. I have never asked anything that was hard or easy for God. He has all power. One of the things I'll do, Lord willing, between now and the end of the month is I'll read a little book called Knowledge of the Holy. There's variations on the theme out there. But the reason some of you don't pray is because your God's too small. And the bigger God is to you, the easier it is for you to pray. Again, used to teach my student, you got to quit saying nothing easy and hard. Easy and hard don't apply to God. He has all power. Easy and hard apply to us. He has all power. Man, I've got a child that's wayward. Nothing too hard or too easy for God. I got an unbelievable job situation. Nothing hard or easy for God. I got a health issue. Nothing hard or easy for God. Man, the world, the mess the world's in, nothing hard or easy for God. I got to find it. Nothing hard or easy for God. When I come to him, it's because I know him. My kids don't blink asking me for help or something. I will break my head if it's in my power to do what is beneficial and a blessing to them. They don't stammer. They don't stutter. Because all their life, that's the way Andre and I have been. And I got news for you. All your life, that's the way God's been to you. You can come to him in confidence. If you're glad for that, say amen. Then don't faint. Faint is translated correctly. But we don't use that word this way. We talk about faint. Somebody's just physically weary or their blood pressure drops or something. Faint, when it hit their ears, it meant to be cowardly. See, you want to pray because you don't want to. That's the last definition. You don't want to quit. No pray, no pray, no pray, no pray. Don't care if I go to church. Don't care if I read my Bible. Don't go to church. Don't read my Bible. Long way away from God. Don't faint. Don't faint. Ian Bounds popularized the expression, all our failures in our Christian life are prayer failures. Pray. Don't faint. I got 2.5 minutes. You still with me? How can I pray? Let me. There are lots of variations on the theme. I want to give you a great big hope in a little easy way to do it. Is that okay? Just write down those letters. I think I gave them to you on your handout. I know they're on the digital. Different ways to do it. But one of the simplest things we taught lots and lots of you to do. Start off adoring the Lord. A, Acts. God, you're great and you're mighty. You're amazing. You're all powerful. If you need some help with that, if you're a digital kind of person, if you just Google things to adore the Lord for, you'll get lists and PDFs. You can do that. I've got one, not in that Bible at home. If I get stuck, I can just read it. Get some ideas. Start off that way. A lot of you like to play a song, a worship song, and you're in that mindset. You're worshiping the Lord for whatever that song was about, and you start there. I don't start with my stuff I need. I don't start with my belly aching. Man, I start with how great God is. It doesn't have to be long. Confess. Go ahead and get it out of the way. By the way, you ought to confess when it happens. Anybody here, you get spiritual amnesia the longer you go between confessing your sin to God? Lord, I was cross with my wife. I didn't do my best at work. Whatever it is. Take care of the little sins before they get to be big sins. Confess. Hopefully that part gets shorter the days go by. Be thankful. Be thankful. I like to get a piece of paper when I do this. I just start being thankful. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you individually. I'm thankful for different things. Our family has tried to have the discipline. Somebody does something nice for us, we handwrite something, a thank you note. Occasionally it's a text, but most of the time. I want the discipline of stopping and being thankful. If I can be thankful horizontally, that's going to help me be thankful vertically. Be thankful. God been good to you? Say amen. Be thankful. And then S, supplication, that's the list. That's the old word there. Y'all pray for the people in your group. Y'all pray for the people where you see that, say that. Y'all pray for your family. Y'all pray for the folks you work with. If God thought enough of you to give you a job and make you a missionary to where you're at, man, call those people's name in prayer. Start praying for my list. Keep up with your list, because when God answers the things on your list, man, you get to rejoice for that. See, I can't pray. If you can spell A-C-T-S, you can pray. You can pray in a quality way. You can pray in a way that honors the Lord. You can pray in a way that's trackable. See, that's just for real spiritual people. I gave you 14 things that you are missing out on if you don't pray. See, I should be here. We should all be somewhere. But we are where we are. Let's start there. If your response to what I've said is to make a great big excuse, I think I want to encourage you to just call that sin. And just say, Lord, help my heart be tender. Maybe the first thing we ought to pray is just forgive me, Lord. I've given all these reasons why I can't do this, and maybe I want to start here. I'm thankful for who you are. Here's the things we need to clear up. Please forgive me. And God, I'm thankful for. And then here's all this other. We invert it. Hey, Santa, I sure would like all this stuff. God's not Santa. God's not Walmart. He's the Lord God Almighty. I can talk to him. Read it with me. I'm done. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him or in him. Wherefore I desire that you don't quit. Not at my tribulation, not because it got hard. It got hard, which is going to end up being for your glory. God will work this out, and he's going to use you being faithful to him and calling out my name in prayer. And by the way, he did that. Paul will end up witnessing to Caesar. He used all the awfulness to get the gospel to the very throne, the center of the Roman Empire. Let's be people of prayer. Let's start today. If it's just a few minutes. Who you are. What I've done wrong. I'm thankful. Here's the people, situations, needs that I'm praying for. Bow your heads with me. Father, I pray this has been helpful. Lord, I don't know if it's been convicting. Lord, it certainly worked me over the past few weeks. Lord, I'm fearful. I'm fearful people are like me. They like to talk about praying. They don't pray. And Lord, help us. Help us not just feel guilty. Help us not just feel like we can improve. Help us just not feel like, you know, we exercise what we could exercise more or whatever. Don't do that. Don't let us get away that way. Make this relational. Help me be closer to you, Lord. Help me talk to you more. Help it excite me more to be in your presence. Help me be thrilled that I get